Now, 5 years ago, Rob Stuza was diagnosed with a degenerative genetic condition affecting his vision, retinitis pigmentosa. Now, while digesting the initial shock of the news, Rob set about finding his birth relatives for the first time on medical advice that led him to the west coast of Ireland and the discovery of a whole new family. And Rob joins us now. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Simon.
Now, first of all, can you take us back 5 years then? I mean, what triggered all this?
So I started feeling that I was getting migraines and, you know, just seeing sort of strange shapes and having difficulty with my outer vision. So I presumed it was, wasn't really sure what it was. So I went to get an eye test, just a regular eye test, and they did a peripheral vision test on me, and I managed to score zero in that. They referred me to Moorfields at that point, and then I was diagnosed shortly after, pretty quickly. They knew exactly what it was straight away, retinitis pigmentosa. So yeah, that was approximately 5 or so years ago. And, you know, at that point, when they diagnosed me, obviously, it was initial shock and what have you, and they suggested that I should, because I'm adopted, that I needed to find my birth relative to establish if it was something which was, you know, the genetic, whether it was dominant or recessive. So the genetic form is easy to, or the type of retinitis pigmentosa. Is easier to diagnose, specifically once you look back into generations before and see if anybody else has been affected by such a condition. So that led me on a road to tracking down my birth family. Effectively.
Had you ever thought about doing that before?
No, not really. I'd sort of shut the door on it. And to be honest, I mean, when they first suggested this, I said, you know, but my initial reaction was, oh, don't worry, that's fine. I mean, I'll just take it as it is. But, you know, I've got two daughters, and they said it could be relevant to obviously, you know, impact, it could impact them in the future. So we needed to really find that out. And of course, once I heard that, then I needed to track them down.
How easy was that to do?
It wasn't actually straightforward. There seemed to be a real lack of any kind of records, and because my adopted parents died when I was a child as well, so unfortunately my mother died when I was one and my father died when I was 14. So there was really not much in terms of, you know, nobody really seemed to know. So I had to go through the council, Southwark Council in London, and track it down that way. But there was really, because it was a private adoption of some sort, I'm not exactly sure the legals in terms of what that means, but effectively there was very little record of me. That's how I went about it, via the sort of council. They had a social department that I spoke to, and they started tracking them down.
And did your family, your birth family, did they welcome you then?
So it turns, obviously you don't know what to expect. Mm. And I think I thought back over the years, and just, you know, you prepare yourself for the worst, I think. And that's, I'd always sort of thought of the worst case scenario. And then, you know, thankfully that wasn't the case. So my mother was completely normal, and she was born in Ireland, in sort of Catholic Ireland on the west coast. So I grew up in Sligo, and obviously there's a big sort of influence, religious influence there. I mean, there's been many stories about people being adopted, of course, in Ireland. So she gave birth to me over in London, but was from the west coast of Ireland, and so it was a sort of arranged adoption. But she was an airline pilot for BA, and you know, now lives in Wales and is married. I have a half sister, so, and she's married, you know, married to not my father, but someone else. But yeah, they were completely normal, so that was good news. And then I started, you know, getting to know her, and then maybe a year or two later, I took myself over to Ireland and decided to sort of meet the extended family, which included a lot of cousins, so first cousins. We had a weekend away in Dublin and met the Irish way by having a few beers. It was fantastic. And we got on, we clicked straight away. So lots of cousins. Late 20s and early 30s in sort of age.
Did you feel that thing, though, that you knew this was your family, your actual biological family? Was there a feeling about that?
Yeah, definitely. I get on with anyone, but there was definitely something different because, up until I'd met, the first genetically related person that I'd ever met was my daughter when she was born. So I'd never really met anybody that I was related to. And definitely with my cousins, there is a sort of natural, a natural affiliation or click. We get each other, if that makes any sense. I suppose it's quite a strange circumstances to actually, be in that position. But we definitely click straight away, and you can see similarities between each other in character and in both positive and negative ways.
That's really interesting. And, of course, the news was quite good, wasn't it, as you were mentioning, that there wasn't so much of a risk to your daughters because of the medical history.
Yeah, so there's no other other cases or none ever listed back in history throughout generations that we could identify. So it probably just means that my mother and my father were effectively recessive holders of that, which in effect means that my daughters will probably be carriers, but not touch wood affected by RP.
You and I are both the same. I've got a recessive gene, and I'm the lucky one that got it in my family. So, we should do the lottery. That's what we should do.
Yeah.
So, taking this back to more recently, you've just run the very hot London Marathon, the 2018 Marathon. What led you to do that? Because I know you were fit, you were into cycling and running before, weren't you, before your sight started to deteriorate?
Well, no, not so much. I was a lot into team sports, so football, cricket, things where you need peripheral vision. Someone asked me for a meeting at work today, this morning, to go and play squash. Squash is not an activity that is recommended for somebody who obviously can't see peripherally. So I'd always been involved in team sports, which obviously I can't play now. So I started doing a bit of running just because you run out. If you don't try and find something, obviously you're going to just be unfit. So we decided it was kind of, obviously getting diagnosed with something is a shock initially. And of course, that led to being, obviously miserable to begin with. And then, of course, along this journey, I found a whole new family, and then I wanted to get something good out of the situation. So I thought that it was a good idea for us to try and do something together, raise some money for charity. I've done a few runs before and raised money for various eye causes, like Blind Children UK, Moorfields, I do a lot of charity work for, whether it's with these sort of rock concerts and various things we've done over the years, barbecues and so forth. But, they get bigger and bigger every year. So I think we had about a couple of hundred people to the last one. And so I thought it was a good idea to do it for RNIB, as they were a lead sponsor. I support them with donations every month anyway. And I thought it would be quite nice to ask my cousin, he's the closest in age to me from Ireland, because I thought it would be a lovely story. There was a negative into how, negative initial situation, and we, sort of turning it around, doing something good out of it.
And how did it go?
Oh, it was awful. firstly, it was very hot, but Ema, actually, she's been riddled with injury, and she actually had been, quite severely injured for 2 months prior. I mean, she's, very fit, slim. She's a vegan, she barely drinks, so everything you'd expect to put you in good stead for running a marathon. But she had really bad knee injuries. So she actually pulled out the day before, and she was devastated. She called me up, she was crying, really upset. and what have you. And then the morning of the race, she texted me, and she had a picture of her in her gear, and she said, I'll do the first mile with you. Just, you know, she could barely walk, but she said she'd do it. You know, she took a load of painkillers and anti-inflammatories, and then turned up. But, you know, being the stubborn Irish woman that she is, just refused to stop. She collapsed a few times, but she kept going, and we finished it together holding hands. So it was, we got there in the end.
She did the whole marathon?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Goodness
just
me.
Just take a week off work after.
Oh, dear me. Well, fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the main thing was that we finished it. I mean, we didn't break any records, as you can imagine by the time, but the main thing was just getting round.
So you've had a diagnosis of, well, quite a devastating diagnosis for anyone who is diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, and yet from it, your life is now richer, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how I like to see it. So, you know, obviously I've got great people in my life now, and you know, there's something positive out of it. I suppose time is always a healer, and, you know, I'm sure many of your listeners and yourself would know that, you know, just over time you get over things. And so, you know, if I look back, of course, it's, you know, I'm just left with positives out of the situation, really. I can't drive anymore, but, you know, I was never that good anyway. But beside a couple of things, you know, obviously, I try to get it in an optimistic manner.
Rob, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you. I really appreciate you being so open about your life story. And we wish you all the best for the future. And anything else coming up, drop us a line and we'll have a chat.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.